Coming up next on VH1.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy. Whether you're joining us right here in the sanctuary or on a screen, we're so glad you decided to join us for worship today. We are taking a peek behind some of our favorite songs, behind some of our favorite music, to see what God might be speaking to us through them. Music has the power to inspire us, to transport us, and even to connect us with the very heart of God. Now, I know when I hear a song for the first time in like 10 or 20 years, it'll instantly transport me back to the place where I heard it for the very first time. Coming on the radio might be something like, I saw the sign, and it opened up my eyes, I saw the sign. And then all of a sudden, I'm back in high school driving my 1984 Chevy Cavalier that the radio only worked when you hit it a couple of times. And it takes you right back to that moment. Or it might be a song by Jewel or the Smashing Pumpkins, and then I realized the 90s was kind of a moody decade for music. Like, just kind of, everyone's kind of in a funk for a while. But it wasn't all that either. As I was thinking back to some 90s music, then I even remembered the one that seemed really out of character. Bop, doobity-bop, doo-wop. You know that, those adolescent guys, that the Hanson brothers that sang that bop song that just gets stuck in your ear? It's still around. You can find that on YouTube. You're welcome. Becca thanked me for getting that earworm into your head today. Now, today's song, the song that's going to take us into the scripture, is from The Fray, and it's from 2008, not quite as far back as the 90s. Now, you likely know The Fray from their most popular song from that time. This is a little clip of their most popular tune. Even for 2008, that one had 90s kind of vibes, the kind of angst in there. But that one has been their most popular hit to date, How to Save a Life. Probably caught it in some movie or television show. And that one was a lament. It was a prayer. It was crying out to God from a perspective of a person who was unable to help a troubled friend. And honestly, that song, it is not that far removed from what we're looking at today. Today was a secondary hit for The Fray. Isaac Slade is their lead singer, their piano player, and he said this: our song today is about heartache, the letdown that comes with life. Sometimes you're let down, sometimes you're the one who lets someone down. It gets hard to know who you can trust, who you can count on, and there's difficult circumstances my family and friends have been going through over the last year or so. It can be overwhelming. It wears on me. It demands so much of my faith to keep believing, to keep hoping in the unseen. Sometimes the tunnel has a light at the end of it, but usually looks just as black as night. This song is about the feeling and the hope I still have buried in my chest. Has anyone ever been there trying to hold on to Jesus when it is so dark with this hope still buried in your chest? You can't see the light. It seems like you're never going to get out of this, but there's still something nagging in you that hope is still alive. You're exhausted. You're worn out. The one that was so close to you let you down. The way you thought it was going to go, it didn't. It went some weird second or third way. The hope you had for someone to stay with you in this life, it was snatched away, just gone in an instant, tragically, catching you entirely off guard. You're in a dark tunnel, and yet there is still some nagging hope still inside of you. Anybody ever been there? This is our song for the day. I'm going over to a CD player. Kids or young ones, you can ask your parents what a CD is. You can also, if you really want to quiz your parents, ask them what a Laserdisc is. They can tell you. This is a bit of You Found Me by The Fray.
I found God on the corner of First and Armistead, where the West was all but
I
I'm going to have DJ Corey or DJ Grumpy Monkey cue up our next song for us. So that is, I don't, Isaac Slade, as he's talking about writing this song, he said he kept getting phone calls from home. There was tragedy upon tragedy upon tragedy. And he said, if there's some kind of person in charge of this planet, are they sleeping? Are they smoking? Where are they? I just imagine running into God on a street corner like Bruce Springsteen, smoking a cigarette, and I'd have it out with him. Honestly, that's a very creative and helpful way as we deal with our own pain. It can be easier to talk and to yell at God, conceiving of God standing in front of you, just like I'm standing in front of you today. And the question that could ask in this song is spot on over and over again. When we face trials, pain, and suffering, he asks, where were you? God, where were you? Where were you, God, when I was having all kinds of struggle and conflict and pain starting a new church for you, God, by the way? Where were you, out to lunch? Where were you, God, when my campus pastor and colleague and friend died way too young of cancer? Did you not show up enough to intervene? Where were you? Where were you, God, when my mother died of cancer? Just out on a break? I mean, where were you? These are the kind of things. This is the kind of, this is what the heart of the song is. And it's not just the heart of this song, friends. It's the cry of every human being that has ever lived and everyone who's ever lost someone. Amen. Lost someone they've deeply cared about. Excuse me. Where is God is one of the oldest questions we have ever asked as human beings. And it's one of the oldest things in our Bibles. Some atheists, some who don't believe in God, atheists who don't believe God exists, and agnostics who don't think there's evidence really one way or the other, they'd frame the question like this. They'd say, if there's a good and loving God in the world, why on earth is there so much pain and suffering everywhere in my life and in others? Now, for many atheists and agnostics, it's just the sheer amount of suffering that proves there cannot be a loving God. God is just a fairy tale we created to make ourselves feel better and not be quite so alone. See, look at all the droughts, look at all the violent storms, hurricanes, political unrest, earthquakes. I told you, there's no God. Look at this mountain of evidence over here. Clearly, there is not. Atheists and agnostics would answer the question of this song, God, where were you, with, well, there's no one. I mean, no one's listening. There is no God. There is no one to answer your question. It probably doesn't surprise you. I think there's another way to answer our song's question. The biblical writers, over and over again, they struggle with suffering in the Psalms, in Job, and Lamentations, just to name a few. The Book of Lamentations is an entire book written by people suffering greatly, crying out to God. Job itself is likely the oldest story found in our Bibles. It's likely not a coincidence that the oldest story we've got, the oldest story told in our scripture, has to do with pain and suffering. And God, where are you? Job had everything, family, friends, he had a purpose, and it's all taken away from him. And he spends time trying to figure out with his friends before taking to God with his pain. And Job cries out, in essence, asking God, where were you? Some of us pick up this idea that once I say yes to Jesus, my life is going to be easy living, roses, sunshine all the time. When things don't go well, we jettison our faith because we found out fairly quickly life isn't easy living, roses, and sunshine. Jesus didn't promise us smooth sailing when we said yes to him. He, in fact, promised we'd have the opposite. At one point, he said, here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows. Any form of Christianity that denies pain and suffering is not Christianity. Not to mention that our faith is built upon a man who was betrayed by his friends, tortured, suffered, died, and came back to life, resurrected. To buy into any form of Christianity that says you're going to have an easy life denies pain and suffering, if that's a central part of our faith. When you compare Christianity to all the other belief and non-belief systems out there, I find this to be one of the most succinct definitions of the God we worship and follow. We worship the God who suffers. We follow and worship the God who suffered for us so we didn't have to be separated from God by our sin, our brokenness in this life or in the next one, in the midst of our suffering. We follow the God who still suffers with us today, knowing this is not the way life is supposed to be, and put a plan into place through Jesus to bring the world back to what it was to be in the beginning. Those of us who follow Jesus answer this question, God, where were you with this? Even in the moment we don't feel it, even when we don't feel it, God is right there with us. God is always with us, comforting us, even taking a beating from us because of the pain and suffering that we're in. Now, we love in our song today, notice that God is standing at the corner of First and Amistad while the author just lays into him. And God takes all the questions of pain and heartache from the singer. This is an ancient spiritual practice. This is not new at all. This is called a lament. Lament is the language of the suffering. It is not afraid to face the uncomfortable and brutal facts and reality of our own suffering or neighbors or somebody that we love. We face this reality without losing hope. And the only way to do that is to invite God into our suffering. We bring God in with the same brutal honesty to face uncomfortable and brutal facts about life. Laments, they aren't just a list. It's not just a litany of all that's wrong or sadness over difficult circumstances. It's an act of worship. Lament is an act of worship that faces the reality of suffering and engages God in all of it at the corner of First and Amistad. Laments are powerful prayers that face the brutal reality, the pain points in our lives, and the challenges of our callings. And we bring God right into all that disturbing chaos and swirl as the one who is primarily and responsible during a crisis. And it is in lament we can be made stronger like Jacob who wrestled with God. We can be made stronger through our brutal, honest wrestling in prayer about the brutal facts of our lives. You know, we see powerful examples of this in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in your Bible is a powerful ancient prayer and song book. And one scholar noted that the psalm gives a lot of space to protesting and lamenting. There's a lot of it in there. And the psalms are very general about what God's going to do, but we are really specific about what's happening to us. God, we need you to intervene in these specific ways in our lives to heal our friends, to heal us, to mend this relationship. But we don't really tell God what to do. We don't get very specific about God's actions. We ask God to do things, but then we leave it to God's wisdom to intervene and heal only in the way God can. I'm going to show you this through Psalm 13 today. You're welcome to follow along in your own Bible, on your favorite device, or on the screen with me. Now, a tip, if you've got a physical Bible with you, whenever you stand your Bible up on the spine and you open it halfway, you're likely going to land in the Psalms. Unless you've got one of those freakishly large study Bibles with a whole lot of notes, maybe not. But in general, you're going to land in the Psalms. Psalm 13 is the only psalm out of 150 that begins with a series of five questions. And they reveal the inner anguish the psalmist faces in the anguish silence of God. You can fit the lyrics of our song today right into this psalm. Let's let these questions sit with you a minute. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? This is a psalm of those in the middle of pain and suffering, taking so much of who they are, taking almost all of who they are to still believe and to hope that God's still got good things for them. It's being in the tunnel as black as night with no light, and yet there's still some kind of stubborn hope in your chest that you cannot let go of. The Psalms nor the whole Bible do not shy away from asking God questions. There is space in following Jesus for lament and for anguished cries before God. Sometimes we are just like this author of our song, finding ourselves living in the agony of the silence of God. We even pray and it seems like our prayers are unanswered. And you're going to hear that in this section of our song for the morning. Take a listen. I love the author's authenticity and honesty in the song of "How dare you do this to me?" It sounds, for some of us that may not have prayed that way before, it might not feel like we can do that with God. Oh, but we can. Read this psalm and some of the others, and that is a psalm of lament, going right to God with exactly what we're feeling like. This author got no messages, no letters from God, and this happens to us. We can feel like we're praying to God and just not get anything back, that things are coming back unanswered. One of the most powerful aspects of the Psalms is they can give us voice to the full range of our human experiences with God. Sometimes we feel fully connected with God, we're running with God, we feel like God's beside us all of the time, we feel like we're talking, and then in other seasons, it feels like God's silent, that we can't get anything back from God. We feel distant, like God's just hanging out and not paying attention to us at all. Sometimes our prayers are not answered in the ways that we can understand or see. Sometimes our prayers go unanswered for years. For years, as we learn to lean into the journey with God and just wait. The power of Psalm 13, what we need to remember when we go through dark times, when we find ourselves in a tunnel with no light, is this. Never forget in your times of darkness what God has revealed in times of light. Never forget what God, in your time of darkness, what God has revealed in times of light. That is the message of Psalm 13. It's how it ends. After all these questions, after this lament the author puts forward, we read at the very end, even though, remember, this author is feeling like he's not getting anything back from God, he says, But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. That is a powerful turn. It's an amazing turn. Will you forget me forever? Will my enemies have the upper hand? And turns to, but I trust you. The psalmist should remember, as we should, God loves us. God rescued us. God is good to us. That's who God is. In the middle of darkness, as we lament, we need to remind ourselves of God's love, of God's character, God's goodness. And if something happens to us that is not keeping with those attributes of God, then God didn't do it. Hear me, we can ascribe to God doing everything under the sun to us, but the reality is you and I have more agency than we want to admit. Our actions have consequences to us and the others in the world. And the world itself is broken, just like we are, causing pain and suffering. If something happens to us out of God's character, then God is not the cause. Never forget, friends. Never forget in the darkness what God has revealed to you in times of light. When we have times of prayer that we go unanswered, when we enter dark periods in our lives, we need to take a lesson from the morning song and this scripture. We need to be a people that lament. Like the Psalms and our song says, ask anything. Don't sugarcoat your prayers. Don't put on a positive Christian fake face. Guess what? We're the ones supposed to know about pain and suffering, and we follow the one who walks with us through it. We follow the God who suffers. Be brutally honest with what you're feeling and where you feel God has let you down. Remember, remind yourself in the dark what you know to be true in the light. Things like God loves you. God wants your good. God is with you. It's what the psalmist does over and over again. So in our pain and suffering, God, where were you? To answer this, I look to Jesus being God. How do we see Jesus interacting with those who are in pain and suffering? Jesus didn't walk around seeing those in pain and suffering, saying, everything happens for a reason, and walk away. No, he heals them. He brings relief. He raises dead people back to life who didn't even ask for it, but their family and friends did. He didn't walk around and cause hurricanes and earthquakes and brutal dictators. He calmed storms, and he brought healing and wholeness. Jesus walked with those hurting and brought wholeness to them. Jesus can do that for us. Jesus can do that for you, friends, if you want him to, if you invite him in. After Jesus tells us we're going to have all kinds of trials and suffering in this life, he immediately brings comfort. That very next verse, he says, But take heart because I have overcome the world. In our darkness, in our own pain and suffering, God is the comforter, the redeemer, the overcomer. God overcomes the pain and suffering in our lives and in the world. Sometimes those we love close to us die, but because of Jesus' resurrection, we believe and we know, even when it's dark, even when we cannot see the light, we will see our loved ones again. Even when the tunnel is dark, there is a nagging hope in our chest that will just not let go. Pain and suffering might win today, but guess what, friends? Jesus has won the war. Pain and suffering might win a battle, but Jesus has won the war. In a powerful scene from the film The Shack, Mac's young daughter is murdered, and he cannot understand. He cannot fathom where God was in all of this. Mac has a vision where he is cooking with God, God played by the powerful Octavia Spencer, and he asks the question of the Psalms, he asks the question of Job, Lamentations, the fray, and what we ask. Watch this.
You're the Almighty God, right? You know everything. You're everywhere. All at once, you have limitless power. Yet somehow, you let my little girl die. When she needed you most, you abandoned her.
I never left her.
Seems like you have a bad habit. Turning your back on those you supposedly love.
I'm not who you think I am.
He said it himself. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
No, Mac. You misunderstand the mystery. What my son chose to do didn't cost us both dearly. Love always leaves a mark. We were there together. I never left him. I never left you. I never left Miss.
Where are you, God? God never leaves us. God never leaves you. God never leaves me. As a resurrection people, we know death is not the end. Suffering does not have the last word. Pain and suffering may win today, but Jesus has won the war. From Romans 8, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Friends, may we practice lament in our lives, being brutally honest with God and reminding ourselves in the dark what we know to be true in the light. Let's pray together. Jesus, you showed us what God was truly like, bringing hope, healing, and wholeness to all who seek it. It's not an easy journey. There are days we cannot feel you or hear you. There are hard days. May your Holy Spirit help us to see you in the people around us. May we see you in people holding faith for us when we simply cannot. May you help us to remember in the dark what we learn to be true in the light, that you love us, you care for us, and you never leave us. And may we not be afraid to lament with brutal honesty, with the brutal facts of the brutal reality of our lives, inviting you to heal in only the way that you can. It's in your resurrected name that we pray together. Amen.